to read three verses and I'll give you the title this morning. Something a little bit different. But we want what God wants. I sat down and began to try to study last night, and I had two or three different things on my heart, but this is the one that I believe God wants me to preach on today. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. But James chapter 4, verse number 13 through 15, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." That "go to now" could mean pay attention or listen to this or stop and consider, but it's to think about it. If you ever think about this, sometimes we have plans and our plans may not line up with God's plans. I heard a guy say one time in Bible college, he said, "God laughs at our plans." I didn't like that. But you know, a lot of times we have plans and we've got things that we've already established and settled in our hearts and our minds that we want to do, but it may not be what God's plan is for us. It may not even be anything that we can accomplish. And sometimes people say, "Well, there wouldn't anything happen in my life if it wasn't God's will." I don't know where people get that. I don't find that in the Bible. People say, "Well, everything happens. If it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't." Well, that's not true. See, the Bible says it's not His will that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. People go out and do things every day that are not God's will. And sometimes we got plans that are not God's will. You say, "Well, if it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't happen." Well, when people go out and they overdose on drugs, that's not God's will. When people go out and they commit murder, that's not God's will. I remember one time I was teaching Sunday school and I was talking about how good things happen or bad things happen to good people. And, you know, basically sometimes there are things in our life that we just don't understand. And I was teaching about confusing crosses, and there was a lady in the class that got so upset by what I was teaching, she ran out of the classroom in tears. And I'll tell you something, I am a very conscientious person. It matters to me that when I'm up here, most importantly, I'm doing what God wants me to do. But if I see somebody respond in a poor way, the devil jumps on me. And I didn't know what was going on, and it took me a whole week till the lady came back in the class the next week, and she stood up in the classroom in front of everybody, and she said, "I wanted to apologize because I realized when you were teaching last Sunday that I have things in my life that I have not dealt with." And she stood in the classroom and she told the story about when she was a teenage girl being raped. And she said, after that, she told the story about how her mother was killed right down here on the four lane, right between Powder Springs and Hiram by a drunk driver. And she said, "For years I have stood and said, if it wasn't God's will that I get raped or my mother get killed by a drunk driver, it wouldn't happen. So the way that I've dealt with it is I have just accepted it as God's will." There's probably somebody here in this morning that's dealing with things that way that needs to be right down here talking to God. And you need to understand that every bad thing that happens in your life does not happen according to God's will. You got to remember, as I hope you understand this, that Adam liked apple pie. We live in a fallen world. And those people that look at you and they say, "Where is God at? If God's a God of mercy, if God's a God of love, then why is all this happening?" And then they turn right around and tell you they don't believe in God. How can you be mad at a God that you don't even believe in? You know, our plans are nothing. And sometimes things happen in our life that we simply are not going to understand. And He's telling them, slow down just a little bit. Hold on just a little bit. And I didn't even know that was all coming, okay? That had nothing to do with the message. Well, sometimes you got to listen to God. See, we go through our life. Here's the thing we need to understand. I'm going to get to it in just a minute. Wherever you walk, whatever you do, you need to be walking with God. Because you are going to face things, you are going to have to deal with things that without having your hand in His hand, you are not going to be able to handle it. He said, pay attention. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, ye will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I remember one time I was on the job site and I was probably 17, 18 years old. It was before I met my wife. Maybe 19, I don't know. I was fastly becoming an old hermit because I was single and 19 years old. And I can remember talking to a young man that was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And I worked with him every day. And here's what bothered me is I liked this guy. He worked hard. He did, you know, he helped his mother. We talked about his relationship with his mom. But he didn't believe in God at all. Well, I was the polar opposite. Yes. At 19 years old, I wasn't much different than I am right now. And every time he'd say something, and I'd say, well, you know, and this is what I learned from my dad. I can remember my dad saying this so many times. He'd say, well, Lord willing. You ever heard anybody say that?
Oh, yeah.
I'd say, you're going to be at the wild game banquet? Lord willing. You're going to be at the fall festival? Lord willing. I remember one time I was talking to that guy, and he asked me something. And I said, Lord willing. He said, can't you leave God out of anything? And this is what I said to him. I said, how can you leave God out of anything and expect it to prosper? Amen. Well, you know where that saying comes from, Lord willing? It comes right here in James chapter 4 and verse number 15. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. I want to be where God wants me. Now, I want to preach on this subject this morning. What is your life? And you pull that right out of that 14th verse where he says right in the middle of it, we don't know what tomorrow holds, for what is your life? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. As I sat down and I began to have this thought this week, I questioned God like I often do. I mean, God and I have a conversation. It usually ends in me saying, yes, sir, Lord. Because most of the time when I use this scripture, it's used at a funeral. I've used this scripture several times in funerals and used these points. But yesterday I was talking to a brother and this thought came up and we were talking about sometimes in life, in ministry, I mean, you do a lot of things. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. This is kind of like the dessert, okay? Getting to preach is the best part of ministry. Because I love to preach and I love the Word of God. But there are times that you're trying to help people, trying to get involved with people's lives. And there are times even, and I know Brother Tom's experienced this. And I want to tell you something that's troubling about Celebrate Recovery. I love Celebrate Recovery ministry and I like doing it. But you know what breaks my heart? Is when I see people come and I pray with them and I talk with them and I warn them and I give them direction and I try to say the things that God has for me to say to them. And you know, there's been times that I've looked at them and I've said this, if you don't change, you're going to die. You know what really breaks my heart, Brother Ken, is when that comes to pass. It don't come to pass because I say it or because I'm a fortune teller, but you can see people on a path of self-destruction. And the times that I've had to preach funerals for people that I loved, that I tried to help and celebrate recovery, it breaks my heart. And I said this to a brother yesterday. I said, the last thing that I will get to do for those people is to preach their funeral. And as I began to think about that, and this scripture was already on my heart, and it came back to me last night, and I began to think about it, you know, could you imagine getting the opportunity to attend your own funeral? Because the truth is, we preach our funeral every day of our life. When it comes time for you to have a funeral, and whether you have it in this church or you're in the funeral home or however you decide to have it, it will be really not for you. It's going to be for your family. It's going to be for your friends. It's going to be for people who come in to pay their last respects to you in your life. And if it's like some that I've attended, you know, I've done some funerals where I come in, and it's really like a celebration, like the parish saying, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of splendor with joy beyond compare. Amen. It's like the funeral that they had for her husband. He's gone to be with Jesus. He's lived his life here. It's fulfilled, and I believe this with all my heart, that there comes a time when we are holding on to this world and we're reaching the cross and we just turn loose here and we step forward. Why? Because we understand that there's more waiting for us on that side than there is on this side. And folks, that's a celebration. And then we have those times that I've preached a funeral and I go down and I look at a person and you say, well, if it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't happen. Can I tell you how many times I've preached a funeral and I looked at a person that died because of the lifestyle that they lived? It's because of the drugs that they put in their body. It's because of the people that they were hanging around with. It's because of their friends weren't friends. They were bad influences. And we'll say, well, if it wasn't God's will, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. What the Bible says, that if it were what he said, that it's not God's will that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. You know, could I tell the girl in the Sunday school class, well, it must have been God's will for that man to do that to you, or it wouldn't have happened. That's not supported by God's word. It's not God's will for any man to get in a car and drink and drive. So I can't look at her and say, well, it must have been God's will. That's why when your kids get on bicycles, you tell them to put on a helmet. That's why when they're 12 years old and they're water skiing behind the boat, you tell them to wear a life jacket. Because we understand that the decisions we make in life and what we do, it does matter. You see, we're preaching our own funerals every day. And I'm preaching mine. And I care. I care very much. I care very much for this church. And when I come in here on Sunday morning and I look around and I see some people aren't here, I wonder if they're still traveling for spring break. And we know some are. If you don't believe that, just go down 85 South. But I know some have other things that they're doing, but I'm praying for them. And I pray for this church. And I pray that God would give me the message that he wants. When I hear things going on in people's lives, I care. When my son comes home and he tells me, Dad, I've got a book report due Monday, and I just about lose my mind. I say, son, it's Saturday. You've known this for 2 weeks. Why didn't you tell me? And for a few minutes, I have a hissy fit. And I get over it. You know why I have to get over it? Because he's got a book report. And can I tell you, you know why I get over it, Brother Ken? Because I care. There are times my wife will ask me to do something. Sometimes, not all the time. And I don't do it because I want to. I do it because I care. You know, when we go through our life, the things that we do, they define us. I remember going to a funeral recently up at Rock Baptist Church. A good preacher died, and people said, well, why did he die? He was just 62 years old. He just had retired. He was building this church, and the church is not finished. And his wife, and I have seen her time and time again, every time we're around her, you know what she does? She gets up, and she comes right down here, and she just pours her heart out before God. She's not quit on God. She's not stopped serving God. But she pours her heart out because she's left here to live in a world by herself. And she doesn't understand, but she knows, just like we preached last Sunday, there's nowhere to go because he is Lord. her funeral, or her husband's funeral. It wasn't preached by the preachers. It was preached by him. He was a fine man. And the way she's staying faithful to God right now, even in the midst of her difficulties, she's preaching hers. And the way that I stand, I'm preaching mine. And the way that you stand, you're preaching yours. And I want to give you these points, and I want you to think about these and understand the impact of them. What is your life? Number one, I want you to understand. Your life, every person in here, your life is a powerful thing. You say, how is my life powerful? Let me give you a verse of scripture. Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 7 says this, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You see, here's what I want you to understand. It's sometimes it may be offensive to some people for you to say this, but here's what I want you to understand. It's not just about you. It's not just about what you want. Your life impacts other people. The decisions that I make, they impact my wife. The decisions that I make, they impact my sons. And sometimes this is what's overwhelming to me. The decisions that I make, they impact this church. And sometimes the responsibility that I feel because of that, it's overwhelming. Don't you know the Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And then it goes on, and if you understand, the Bible teaches us that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. Now here's what that means for anybody that comes to this church every Sunday. As you hear the preaching and you hear the singing and you hear the testimonies, when you go out into this world, you are responsible for those words that you hear. You can't just live any way you want and say, I didn't know. Because you can't come here long and not know. You see, your life is a powerful thing, and here's what I want you to understand that every person has. Your life is a powerful thing because of influence. Because what you do, it affects other people. And whether we like it or not, our life will be an influence for good or for bad. That's why sometimes even being, and you think, well, I'm not doing much. When you come and you work in this church, and you work in children's church, you work in Sunday school, or you work at the fall festival, or you work in a wild game banquet, or you come on Wednesday night, and I want to tell you, there's kids that, and I've actually heard this, and I want to commend the teachers in this church that say, I don't want to be in ball on Sunday. I want to be in so-and-so's whatever. Now, when I hear that, here's what I think. Thank God for teachers that love the kids enough that they pour themselves into them. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I had a teacher that so impacted my life that it made me want to become what God wanted me to be. And he said, as I look back at that teacher, and I want to tell you something, people who are called to teach need to be loved on. I don't care whether they teach public school, they teach private school, they teach Sunday school. It's a calling and it's a blessing, and they ain't making no $1 million doing it, okay? It's okay to give the teacher a present on Teacher's Day or Easter or whatever it is. Your life is an influence for good or bad. And I've had little kids in this church come up to me and talk about how they loved the teacher. I've had kids come in on Wednesday night excited just to be able to go in with Miss Gassett. I have. I've had kids come in and say, I want to be, and they mention the teacher's name, in Awana. You think, well, what am I doing? I want to tell you something, you're doing a lot. You're doing a lot. Now, that's good, but I want to tell you something else. Your life is an influence. And it can be influenced. Be careful who you hang around. Yes. And when people want to hang around you, be careful how you act in front of them. And then you begin to think about it. What influence has your life been on those who hang around you? You see, here's kind of the way it works. There's a lot of people, just to be honest, that'll never read the Bible. But they read us. They read me. And I don't much like that. And I've talked to some other preachers about it. It's almost like there's a pressure on you as a preacher, as a Christian, to live right, do right, act right. Y'all heard it, you know, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do. But can I tell you this? I can remember when I was a teenager, I got saved when I was 12. I went through those years where I had those struggles. You know, I was struggling. I never was a drinker or a cusser, but I'd hit you with a ball bat just because you looked at me wrong. Now, I know that's not right, but God's helped me with that. God's taken that away from me. And I never could get rid of the lead foot, so I had to get rid of the fast cars. You see, here's what I want you to understand. If I knew God, I'm saved by the grace of God, and I have been in a steady growth process to where I'm at right now. And I'm not through. He's not finished with me yet, and I'm not through growing, but I will tell you this, where I'm at in my life. I've come to a point in my life that I no longer say it's hard to be a Christian. I no longer say it's hard to live in this world and serve God. I live in this world, and I say there's nothing I'd rather do. There's nothing else I want to do, and I don't care who likes it. I don't care who supports it. I'm going to stand for Jesus until Jesus comes. And I'll tell you why, because I have a personal relationship with Him that has brought me to the point that I understand that peace with Him is sweeter than anything this world has. It's what I want. And can I tell you, with this point, a lot of it is because of the people who love God who have been an influence on me. Because I have watched people. And the way their relationship with God was, and the peace they had with God, and here's what I said, I want that. I remember watching my dad, and I said, I want that. I remember watching Harley Kimmons, and I said, I want that. I remember watching preachers preach and how they could stand and bring the Word of God and speak the Word of God, and I said, I want that. I can remember times when I was struggling and I had heartaches and troubles in my life. I knew Jesus, but the peace just wasn't there. And I saw somebody with a peace and I said, I want that. Why? Because I might not have been reading the Bible, but I was reading them. You see, their life was a powerful thing because of influence. And I'll say this also. Your life is a powerful thing because of the responsibility it bears. And this is for everybody as well. You have the ability to lead people toward God or away from God. To the right path or the wrong path. Now, you got to be careful how you do that. I want to say this and I want to move because we got a lot of things to cover here, but I can remember one time at work we had a guy that he was zealous. And he was so zealous, he took his convictions and he felt like they needed to be everybody's convictions. You see, there is such a thing as a preference. Then you got a conviction, then you got an absolute. An absolute's for everybody. A conviction is something that you have that grows every day as a Christian. But a preference is just something you got to be careful about. See, I prefer to have a slick head, and Brother Tommy Bruce, he prefers to have a flap top there. Flat top. Yeah. I would never wear a coat that color. But that's his preference. But I had a guy one time at work, and I had to deal with this. He was just absolutely, he'd go in people's offices, he'd put tracts out, he'd tell them, you know, and he would go cut the grass at the church in the summer, 95 degrees, and he'd wear what I've got on. And I thought, you know, I believe in Jesus, but he was, I looked at him one day, I had him in my office, and he was offending people. And this is what I asked him. Who would want what you've got? See, your life is a powerful thing. You got responsibility, but if you're going to give somebody Jesus, you got to have something that somebody's going to want. Yeah. And they're going to know whether or not you love them as soon as you walk up to them. It doesn't matter how much I know, how hard I preach, or what I preach. If we don't love people, if I don't love people, it's not going to matter. So your life is a powerful thing. Your life is also a passing thing. Our life is going to pass faster than we think. James 4:14, we wrote, it is even a vapor. King Daniel said in 1 Chronicles 29:15, he said, our days on earth are as a shadow. Job in Job 7:6 said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. See, the truth is, we will not live forever here on this earth in this body. And sometimes it doesn't matter how long we're here, whether we're here for 20 years, 5 years, 80 years. Even heard some recently talking about family members having their 100th birthday. Can I tell you, it's not long. And sometimes when I think about life, and we talked a little bit about this last Sunday, when we get to the point that we think we're ready to live, sometimes life is over. You know, I can remember, and I've said this before, and I don't know why time works this way, but when I was 15 years old, the summer of my 15th year took 10 years. I can remember I had a bicycle, and I would ride that bicycle, and I was younger than most of the people in my graduating class, and they were driving. And I would be sitting on the bicycle in the place that we live, and they'd drive by in their cars. And I thought, life is going so slow. I want a car. I want a job. Then I got a car and a job, and I said, I want my insurance to be cheaper. And I can remember thinking, I'm going to reach the plateau of 25 and my insurance is going to go down. But you know, when those working years came, they started doing this. Yeah. All of a sudden you look around and it's your 10-year anniversary. It's your 20-year anniversary with school. Then your 30-year anniversary. And now it's so far, I don't even want to hear it. Amen. See, your life is a passing thing. And then your body starts to change. See, your body dies before you do. That's why your knees hurt. Your elbow hurts. That's why you can't see. That's why you can't eat the food you used to eat. That's why even when you go and you do the things that you enjoy, you don't enjoy them like you used to because you can't do them like you used to. That's why I don't play golf with Tom Bruce. I take 2 Motrin before, 2 after. I hurt for 6 weeks. Why? Because your life is a passing thing. See, there's a curse on this body. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I can't preach the whole Bible today. I'm going to have to move. But that clock stopped up there. I'm going to get my... Watch out. Give me my phone. I'm sorry. But I want you to understand something about the Bible. From the beginning to the end, it supports itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He made it all. He made it for a purpose. He made it glorious. He made it beautiful. Man fell. There was sin. Then there was a curse upon the earth. And from that time forward, everything is not circular reasoning. It supports itself. It's prophecy written down by holy men of old as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament supports the new. The book of Revelation wraps it up. And there is so much prophecy fulfilled there. How in the world could anybody live and not believe there's God? you're going to die. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. See, your life is a powerful thing. Your life is a passing thing. Next, your life is it's a precious thing. Bible says in Psalms 90 and 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, even though we believe in heaven, even though we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we believe we'll see our loved ones again, I'll tell you why we cry. When our loved ones leave, we cry because life is precious. They're precious. And our life is a precious thing. And whether you live 10 years with somebody or 20 years, or some, as we've heard, they bury their spouse after 50 or 60 years of life and they walk by them, I want to tell you that the life you've lived is not in vain. It's not gone. It's going to be perfect soon when you see them again.
Yes.
It's going to be fulfilled. The things we do in life, they matter and they echo for eternity. But you know what goes along with life being a passing thing? Understand that life is a precious thing. You know, I look around this morning and I see, just since I've been here at the church, the number of children that have been born, the number of weddings that have taken place, the number of people who have stepped out into eternity to go and be with the Lord. And if I were to ask you right now, everybody here except Tommy Bruce has got probably an iPhone, and you've got pictures on that phone of your new grandbaby. You've got pictures on that phone of your kids. You've got pictures of the events that they were at. You've got pictures of the vacation. And you take those things. And I've got one that my wife sent me. I said, I want that picture. I carry it around at work. I said, y'all, look at this. You know that one that was just little last time? He's big now.
Yeah.
And that little baby that was born that weighed 6.5 pounds, it's growing. And that daughter that I had that seems like it was yesterday, she's already gone living her own life, having her own kids. I heard a preacher talking about this scripture in Psalms 90 and 12. And he said he put his daughter on an airplane in Orlando, Florida. And he said, I stood in the airport as the plane took off with tears running down my face. I went back home and went into her bedroom and sat down on her bed and looked around. And I looked at the stuff that she had as a little girl and the things that were still there, the things that we had gave her. He said, and the tears run down my face. Because those years, you know what? They just seemed like they went by so fast. See, life is a precious thing. That's why we got the pictures of the children. That's why we got the pictures of the grandkids. That's why we cry when our loved ones leave. That's why we care and do the things that we do. Because life is precious. And that is why, if we understand what it means to preach our own funeral, we need to love them while we got them. We need to care for them while we have them. We need to wrap our arms around them. And we need to spend time with them. And you need to be able, I want to tell you something, dads. Don't be afraid to wrap your arms around your kids and tell them, I love you. You know, there's a generation past. And I've heard people talk about this. This is sometimes what troubles me. But it shows us right where we're at and how fast life passes. When I sit and I counsel with a man in his 60s, and tears run down his face, and he talk about how his daddy treated him. And he said, my daddy didn't really love me the way that he should. He didn't think that I could do anything right. I didn't have a right relationship with him. Time's going to pass. See, life is a precious thing. I don't care where we're at. You know how it is, you take your kids to school. I remember taking my daughter to school. We had a minivan. She used to scoot down where her head couldn't be seen. We'd pull into the school, she'd open the door and jump out. A couple of 2 or 3 years later, we still had that same minivan. She had a baby. We said, you want a minivan? She said, yeah. But you know, I've got to the point, I don't care if we're at school. I don't care if we're getting ready to send everybody off to youth camp. I don't care if we're over in front of Kennesaw. I'm going to grab Matthew and I'm going to hug him. I'm going to kiss him and tell him I love him. I'm going to grab Luke and hold on to him. And I'm going to kiss him and say, I love you, son. And if you're not doing that, you need to do that. See, when I think about the precious things, I think about when my daughter moved to Pensacola. And I said, that's too far to drive. You can't drive that far. She said, Daddy, I'm married. I said, okay, I guess I'll help you. And you think about the Christmas get-togethers. People you love that you don't see enough. How important they are. Think about the weddings, the children. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago the picture albums and why they're important. That's why we really begin to realize. That's why I got to say it on my wall at work that says, when I take inventory of the things that matter most, I find that none will have been purchased with money. Then Matthew said in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself, or thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Brother Keith mentioned it a little bit ago about sometimes you have more beginning to be on the other side than this side. I've heard that before from preachers, people who are experienced, that understand. They say, when I think about heaven, my mom's there, my dad's there, I've got brothers and sisters there. I've got church family that I love with all my heart that are there. And for a lot of people, they say, I even have children there. Or my spouse is there. And they look around, and what's happening is they got more treasure in heaven than they have here. And they realize they've spent their life walking with God, their testimony that they knew God, and they begin to long for home. They begin to long to be with Jesus. Paul said that. He said he desired not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon. What did he mean? God had already given him visions that were so incredible, he didn't even allow him to write about them. And as he saw the things that God let him see, he began to long for it and reach for it. But then he said, it's more expedient for me to stay here. Why? Because he still had work to do. That's why we're here. See, your life is a powerful thing. It's a passing thing. And I want to give you this. It's personal. It's a relationship between you and God. You can say, it's mine, and I'm going to do what I want with it. I'm going to do what I want. It's nobody's business what I do. Or you can understand that you were created by God for the purpose of God, in the image of God. And what God wants is not your stuff. He's not asking you to do or give. He just wants you. And when you get to where you want are supposed to be with him, you'll find that the will of God is the only thing to do. That's why I used to fear. I used to fear that God would want me to do what I'm doing now. Now I don't fear it. God's will is all I want to do. Sometimes people are afraid to say, I would be willing to follow God if he wanted me to do something. You know why they're afraid to say that? They're afraid God will do it. But if God calls you to it, you'll find yourself in a position that is the only thing that you're satisfied doing. That is why when a person is called to the mission field, it's not difficult for them to say, I'm leaving all this to go there. Because they're not thinking about all this. They're thinking about going where God wants them. It's a personal relationship with the living God between you and him. And then the last, and we're going to play a song. Your life is a promotional thing. Because God never intended for us to stay here forever. God has gone and he said that we should not let our hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If you understand the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you understand that the window is closing. And I mentioned this to Brother Allen a little bit ago. I ain't got time to preach this, but I'm going to give you a nugget. We are in the Laodicean church age. That is the last church age mentioned in the book of Revelation, which lines right up with everything you read about the return of Christ in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Daniel. Yes. We're in the times that we need to realize that Jesus is coming, and that our life, even if Jesus does not come in my lifetime, and I don't know, I've said that before, but who knows? The Bible says no man knows the day. But if he calls me, I'm going to be with him. Amen. If he comes for the church, we that are saved, we're going to be with him. Amen. But the point being is this. God has got something great, great, great in store for us. I was talking to my wife this week. And I've really had my dad on my heart lately. I said, I wish I could talk to my dad. He had so much wisdom. He loved God so much. And when I go talk to him, I always felt better. He's been gone now for right at 13 years. And you know, your life is a passing thing. It seemed like it was yesterday, Brother Ken. But here's what I want you to understand about eternity. If it was yesterday that he left, tomorrow I will see him again. You see, every one of us are preaching our own funeral today. This message most of the time is not quite this way, but it's the same scripture that I've used. And I want to ask you something. What kind of funeral are you preaching? You see, what is your life? This could be the message for somebody's funeral here today. Because we're not guaranteed or promised that next Sunday we'll all be here. You say, well, you're trying to scare us. No, I just wish people could get a hold of the fact that we're not going to be here forever and start living holy for God again. We may be in the Laodicean church age, but the same spirit that filled the church of Philadelphia is available to you and I, because God said in the last days there would be an outpouring of his spirit. Who's going to get it? Those that want it. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you would rise to your feet, and we're going to play this song. It's a great song. You can worship. You can pray. You can pray for somebody. But I want to ask you this. Please don't leave here today not knowing Jesus. If you want somebody to pray with you and say, my heart's troubled and I need somebody to help me understand, just come on down. We'll have ladies pray with the ladies, men pray with the men. And if you're troubled this morning, and sometimes life is troubling, isn't it? Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes just dealing with the things some of them I brought up are difficult. Bring it to Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Would you come? Would you pray?